This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So yeah, I used the savings from switching to Progressive 50 years ago to finally buy my dream car. It's a self-driving flying car, but we just say self-flying now. You know, because it's the future, and cars fly in the future.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
Hey, remember how 20 years ago I switched to Progressive? Well, now it's the future, and I used all those savings to buy this new hologram phone. Because, you know, it's the future, and everything is holograms now.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me tonight is Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham and Luca Visciliosi, who has a popular YouTube channel, Luca's Channel. You can also see him on the Fulhamish YouTube channel as well. This episode, we're going to start with the breaking news of the sacking of Claudio Ranieri as Fulham manager, and he has been replaced by Scott Parker as caretaker manager. We're also going to be talking about the match last night, which ended the Claudio Ranieri reign. And we might have time for another topic as well, but we're going to focus a great deal on this breaking news. And to get us going, I'm going to bring on Scott Tanfield to the show. Scott, how you doing?
Very well, Russ. Good to be on again.
It's great to have you on, Scott. Let's just get right to it. Thoughts on the sacking of Claudio Ranieri?
Yeah, well, I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I think we knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time, really, wasn't it? It was there wasn't any improvement. I think we'd all kind of lost a little bit of interest since Burnley, and it was a bit of a downhill struggle. A lot of fans losing patience. We were still kind of, you know, conceding 2-3 goals a game. And I think, to be honest, if it wasn't West Ham, it was definitely going to be Southampton. And the inevitable has now happened today.
Okay, excellent there, Scott. Look forward to going into more detail on this in just a second. Luca, welcome to Cottage Talks. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Ross. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, let's get your opening thoughts on just this part of it, the sacking of Claudio Ranieri. Let me just ask you, are you for this decision?
Yeah, I think it eventually had to be done. I think on the whole, I think things got very, very stale with Ranieri. I think the approach with his play, he didn't go down too well with too many fans. Going from what we had before with Savisa, the free-flowing football we had there, to what we had now, I don't think it really worked. And I think the sacking was right in the end. I think there's a couple of performances recently that haven't been up to scratch. I think West Ham was one of them as well, taking the lead and blowing that in the end. And last night as well wasn't good enough. So I think they had to go in the end. Eventually, it was the right call.
Okay, excellent. All right, Scott, right back to you. I'm actually going to read a quote that is on the full website. This is on the article. Parker, appointed caretaker manager. We'll be talking about the Scott Parker part of this in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to share these quotes from Shad Khan because I find them revealing. And so I'm just going to read these quotes. Quote, this is from Shad Khan. Following our discussion this afternoon, Claudio Ranieri agreed to my decision that a change was in the best interest of everyone. No surprise to me, Claudio was a perfect gentleman as always. Claudio's tenure at Fulham didn't produce the outcome we anticipated and needed when I appointed him as manager in November. But be assured, he is not solely to blame for the position we are in today. Unquote. That last part, Scott, I want to talk to you about. We were talking about this off air. I agree that this was the right decision, but Claudio Ranieri is not solely responsible for what's going on with Fulham Football Club.
No, of course he isn't. We know that. I think, you know, at the time it was kind of, you know, wrong appointment for the wrong time. You know, and he was always going to be in the firing line. We know that, you know, regardless of whatever manager you bring in now, or I think whatever manager you could have brought in, we're going to face the same troubles. You know, I'm hoping them quotes from Shad means that, you know, we are going to start looking at things from, say, board of directors downwards, because we've been a complete mess behind the scenes all season. You know, and that portrays, obviously, you know, onto the field of play. I think them quotes are interesting because I think with him stepping in and obviously telling us that, I think, you know, there are going to be other people that are probably going to bite the bullet over this for us.
It's very interesting. I'm glad that that line has really been looked at. I actually saw it from Ryan O'Donovan on his Twitter page from football.london, and that's what really got me to think about it. And then I reread the quotes, and I'm like, okay, you might be on to something, Scott, so I'm glad that we're talking about it. Luca, what are your thoughts about those quotes, especially that last part? Do you agree with Scott that maybe there's something else that potentially could be going on with? Obviously, Shad Khan makes it perfectly clear. This isn't just Claudio Ranieri's fault, and maybe some other people involved with the club might be going as well. Again, we're just speculating, but maybe this is just the first of the shoots to drop here.
I think it's more, I think Shai's maybe found out as the realisation that something's not quite right off the pitch. I'm not sure what it exactly is, but there's a few things that people or fans have looked to. Obviously, Tony Khan's been in the firing line for reasons maybe people can agree with and disagree with, but there's definitely something that's not right at the football club, whether it's the recruitment side of things that are affecting what goes on the pitch or even something else further behind the scenes. I'm not too sure, but I do agree with Shai's quotes that, you know, it's not all Ranieri's fault. Of course it isn't, but there's definitely something not right at this football club, and I'm not too 100% sure what it exactly is, but there will be, I think there could be some wholesale changes in the summer, definitely.
Right, and that's where I think Scott was going on that, you know, when you really need to reassess. But Luca, when Fulham do go down, and they are going down, they are more than likely going to be relegated. I think it would be a miracle for that not to happen. I think this gives them another chance to reinvent themselves, and because people have come to me and said, well, were you in favor of getting rid of Ranieri? And I did not want them to have three managers again in the season, just like they did the last time that they got relegated. But I think this gives them an opportunity to reshape who they are again, because like you mentioned, and I totally agree with you, there's something wrong and they need to figure out what's wrong and come back stronger if they want to get back to the Premier League. So your thoughts?
Well, I think obviously this is going to give us more of an opportunity now to, as you said, to really try and work things out and see what happens. Obviously, Scott Parker's going to take the job to the end of the season. And his performance could have a big say on what happens in the summer. I wouldn't be too keen on him coming in as permanent manager next season. Okay. I think if he has somehow a good run and puts together some good results, I don't think we should look at that too much. I think we made that same mistake with Kit Simons, where in the short term it was good, he kept us up, but then building on a long-term foundation with Kit Simons trying to get us up back into the Premier League, this wasn't the best idea. I don't think that would be the best idea if, for example, Scott has a good run of games, and I don't think we should look too far into that, I don't think.
That's a very good point for bringing up the situation with Kip, because he ended up winning the job, Luca. Scott, what are your thoughts about, now we're transitioning to talk about Scott Parker, and Luca brings up a good point talking about Kit. You know, he has an opportunity here to potentially win the job permanently. I'm not saying that he should be that person when Fulham are down in the championship. But he's going to be in the job. He has an opportunity here. So what are your thoughts about the potential comparison that Luca just said to the situation with Kit Simons?
Yeah, I mean, Luca's got a good point. I mean, we made that mistake with Kit Simons, we know. We always know that there's going to be probably a bit of a manager bounce. I'll be very surprised if it happens with Scott Parker, because as we know, the next four games, I believe it's Chelsea, Leicester, Liverpool, City. Is that right? Going to be a task for him to get anything out of that. Maybe even come away with a point. So it's going to be tough for him. But yeah, I think the basis is, I mean, getting rid of Ranieri now says to me that the club need to make movements behind the scene by approaching certain candidates ready for next year. If that wasn't the case, then they would leave Ranieri, obviously, in situ, because there's no difference. You might as well just leave him in. We get relegated, he goes. So the whole purpose of him, obviously, moving on now is that we start making moves behind the scenes. I'm in the same camp as Luca. I don't particularly want to see him get the job full-time. I just feel that we've not learned from that mistake last time, and I really hope we go down that avenue again. But we need to be sort of reaching out to, obviously, potential candidates now that they can possibly kind of join towards the tail end of the season, or maybe that someone's in a job that we're going to approach, and we do this the correct way. As I say, because you might as well let Ranieri in charge until the end of the season, really. But yeah, let's hope we do this properly. I mean, from Scott Parker's point of view, I don't think it's going to affect him. All it's going to do realistically is strengthen his position at the club, gives him a little bit of managerial experience. And when a new guy comes in, it kind of cements him as a more permanent number two as well. So it will do him the world of good. But let's just, hope we do it the right way.
Okay. Let me go back to you, because I want to focus on Scott Parker now as caretaker manager. And Cottage co-host Emilio Dinello mentioned this to me earlier today. We were just talking about the situation with Parker and what the approach should be, in his opinion, moving forward the rest of the season with the players under Scott Parker. So I want to ask you both this, and Scott, I'll start with you. His feeling is that Fulham should do their best to maximize their assets, talking about Ryan Sessegnon, Tom Kearney, Alexander Mitrovic. Play to your strengths. Play to your best players. Play your best players twofold, because obviously you want to end the season as strong as possible. But let's be honest, you're going to have to sell some serious assets, and you want to get those assets up, Ryan Sessegnon especially. What are your thoughts about that, Scott? Because, again, we have to start thinking about the future. So I thought Emilio bringing this to my attention to ask you guys this, I think, is interesting. Do you agree with him that we should be playing Sessegnon, Kearney, all of our top players, for two reasons? One, to do the best we can the rest of the season, and two, to maximize their value.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to play to your strengths now. You know, there's always a slim chance that you can possibly do something, but it's going to take a miracle. But, you know, I think for once, and going back to the 2013-14 season, when we got relegated and come down with Magat, you know, we were in a sort of a bit of a sad position, really, because we had an ageing squad. We never really had any assets. You know, the Khans basically sort of handed the keys to Magat and said, you know, you do what you want. And he kind of got rid of the players that, you know, like the Hanglands, you know, the Stockdales or whatever, the Sidwells that possibly could have pushed for an automatic return. I'm hoping, again, and it looks like it, they've learned from those mistakes. And going down this time, we're in a very healthy position. Yes, we spent 105 million, but obviously with parachute payments. And for once, and I've banged on about this before, Russ, that we've actually now got sellable assets within the squad.
Absolutely.
You know, Sessegnon, you know, we've got Kearney, you know, we've got Trevic, we've got Siri. I mean, you know, even Anguissa. I mean, obviously, he's not had a season, but they're on good contracts. We can warrant good money for them. But the juggling act, you know, has to start, obviously, when we go down. I mean, obviously, you've got to look at it. Maybe do we go down the Wolves route and try and sort of, you know, retain, you know, Premiership players at that level and maybe make a push to come straight back? Or, you know, if we are going to get rid of assets, we've got to sell them for top dollar. But at the same time, we've got to be replacing players, you know, with like for like. We've got to go out and get that 20-goal striker straight away, you know, not wait until the tail end of the season. these are all lessons that need to be learned. But coming back to obviously the main question, I think what Parker needs to be doing now, what the club needs to be doing, is playing to our strengths, players in their positions, you know. And if we are going to sell assets and they are going to go, we need to put them in a shop window. That's natural.
Absolutely.
Football club. And maybe bringing a few couple of youth players around the squad. You know, you don't know when we go down like a
Why not give Stephen Sessegnon a chance, Scott?
Stephen Sessegnon, yeah. I mean, you're right, Russ. A few of them assets. Just get them around the squad.
Right. Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah, if the nail's in the coffin, then bring them in, bleed them in, because it's, you know, you're going to use one or two of them when you go down. So there's, you know, it's a sad time for us, but at the same time, I think it's positive if we do this the right way.
Totally agree. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about this now. Luca, what are your thoughts about this? Because, you know, I found it interesting that, again, Miller's looking at this long term because he wants Fulham to bounce back. And this time around, if Fulham are relegated, and it's likely to happen, they have a chance to really have a good amount of money if they sell the right people, the right players. And but I think part of the problem is that some of these players, I don't think, have been playing enough. Ryan Sessegnon, I can point right to him. And I think his value probably has slipped, partially because he hasn't been playing as much. So what are your thoughts about the situation with the club, with Parker, playing to your strengths, like Scott said? But I think it's also, I think you need to get these players in the shop window and get their value up to help you bounce right back into the Premier League. What are your thoughts about all that?
I think first and foremost, if I'm Scott Parker, I'd try and get this group to have a bit more freedom. So I think under Ranieri, he was quite publicly frustrated with a number of players. I think he was a bit frustrated with Sessegnon saying he wasn't physically up to the standards.
Yes.
Publicly slating players. So I'd definitely try and get them to have a bit more freedom and a bit more belief. So I do think that on the whole, we lacked a little bit of that under Ranieri. I think that defensive approach, I don't think it was really suited to a team who had been used to a three-year plan of playing good football and playing it on the floor, playing out from the back and playing quick attacking football, to suddenly change that into a defensive style, which was very short-term. It was never going to properly work, in my opinion. So
yep.
I'd definitely try and go back to a winning formula we had last year. If we can
I agree with you.
Back to that, I'm not too sure. I know there's question marks over defensively conceding too many goals this season, but in terms of the group we've got, I think they're suited more to playing with an open attacking style of football than sitting back and trying to hit teams on the counter-attack. So
well, I agree.
I'd definitely try and go back to a bit more freedom on the pitch, trying to get some of these players their confidence back up, because this group really lacks a lot of confidence, in my opinion. There's a few players in this team who are the shadows of the players they once were. We've mentioned Ryan Sessegnon, who's not the same player he once was. Tom Kearney's another one we're playing on the right side of midfield, and yep. He's much more effective through the middle, in my opinion.
He's a waste out there. He was a waste out on the right.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, definitely. A waste out on the right, I agree. I think he's much more effective through the middle. So you definitely got to try and look at that and think, you know, in the short term, try and get them playing a bit more confidence, a bit more freedom. And I think the problem is, if we go down next season and they talk about heavily investing, I think you look at teams like Aston Villa and Stoke, who might have, you know, arguably in a worse situation than us, spent a lot of money trying to gamble to try and get back up, and it hasn't worked for them. So
hopefully
we don't make too many wholesale changes, because it's not an easy league to get out of, and spending massive amounts of money doesn't always guarantee success in that league either. So I'd probably try and keep the majority of the group together. If they want to be there, then great. If they don't want to be, then we'll have to sell them on. But I don't think heavily investing in a whole new group of players would be the best idea. So if we can try and keep the mainstays of this group together, then fantastic. But if we can't, then we'll have to go back into the market and try and invest wisely into players who want to play for us next year.
Well, let me ask you this, and then I'll go to Scott, because this is a very interesting discussion talking about what Scott Parker should do. It sounds like to me, Luca, you're talking about playing with freedom, that you want Fulham under Parker to go back to playing the possession style under Slavisa and getting that identity that they had under Slavisa, which they had no identity under Ranieri. Am I reading too much into what you're looking for?
I just think personally, I think the style under Ranieri didn't suit the group we had. I think we were much better suited to a style of football, which is playing it from the back and playing it through the thirds and breaking teams down. I agree with you. Yeah, the short-term style of playing under Ranieri just didn't seem to suit the players we had, unfortunately. So I'd go back to what we know best and just build from there.
Totally agree with you. Scott, what are your thoughts about this? Because, again, my big problem with bringing in Ranieri, when the decision was made to get rid of Slavisa, and my fear has come true. I feared that if they sacked Slavisa and brought in someone with a completely different style, Fulham would struggle, and that's exactly what happened because the players were not suited to play under Ranieri. They were suited to play under Jokanović. So what do you think about what Luke is talking about, playing with freedom, letting Parker get this team to play to their strengths, like you said, but I think part of their strengths is playing like they did under Savisa.
Yeah. Just before we touch on that, there's a bit of news coming while we've been on here, Russ. So it's Sky breaking news. So Stuart Gray has been reappointed with Scott Parker. He comes back and takes training on Friday as his assistant.
Wow. That's great news, Scott. What are your thoughts about Stuart Gray coming back?
Well, I think that's possibly undoing one of the bigger mistakes as well by bringing him back. I don't think he should have ever been sort of let go as a defensive type coach. Obviously, again, under the fold of working in the Championship, I think that's a good decision. It's
absolutely.
It's a bit of especially with Parker. They've been there, worked there together.
Yep.
Sure. Back to the original question. I think we need to be playing to our strength. I think Parker will give the team a bit more freedom, as Lucas says. I think for me, it's the players that we originally had under, obviously, Savisa weren't ready for the changes that we imposed by Ranieri. It was very quick. It was very abrupt. Yep. And with a fragile team and kind of, fragile emotions already, I think it just broke us. When you're low on confidence, changes like that are not going to happen. And when you look on the kind of scale of both coaches, completely different. So the appointment, as I said, Ranieri can't shoulder all of the blame. It was certainly a wrong appointment at the wrong time. I think we may have got around it a bit better if we appointed a more passing type coach. It would have made it a little bit easier. Someone like a Rodgers or someone like that likes to play football.
Like a transition to someone that is similar in style. They went someone completely opposite.
Yeah, so, just wrong timing. It didn't work. We tried to roll the dice and, it's put us further in the mire, but it's done now. It's finished. And Parker needs to come in. And I think we discussed this on previous shows, Russ. I think the biggest thing now is, or the hardest job that Parker's got is to basically, build morale again, get confidence levels back up.
Yes, players, totally agree.
Because this will have a big impact for next season, because the way that probably morale is at the moment, most players want to leave, but he's got to try and repair that. And hopefully this interim period will bring that back together and we'll have players, wanting to sort of stay next season rather than all sort of jump a sinking ship.
That's actually a great point. Luca, over to you. First of all, thoughts on what Scott just shared there, and also the breaking news of the return of Stuart Gray. I thought that when he left, I was worried about that would really hurt Fulham. I think it has. I'm a fan of Stuart Gray's. I thought he did a really great job building up the defense to the point where I thought they were solid, and him leaving, I was concerned about. Again, I'm not in training, but based on what I've heard and what I've read, that Stuart Gray did a good job for Fulham. So what are your thoughts about his return?
I think that can only really be a positive, really. I think, as you said, from what he did last season, he had quite a significant role in the organisation of our back line, which was a significant part of us going up towards the end of the season. So it's definitely a big positive there. And especially even prior to us, what he did at Sheffield Wednesday as well. A lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans towards the end of the Carver Howe era said about the foundations he laid down as well after a turbulent
time love him,
they went through. Yeah, they do. Yeah, after a turbulent time they went through in League One when he got them out. I don't think he got them promoted, but I think he took them over in 14-15, I think it was. And for that finish in the top half, I think they did. So he laid down some solid foundations for Carvey Howe to take over with. And obviously, he got to a playoff final and a playoff semi-final. So he's definitely capable of organising and definitely restructuring a team. Whether or not he'll be here in the summer, I'm not too sure. But definitely in the short term, it's a positive thing.
Okay, excellent, guys. All right, let's transition and let's work on what's been going on with Fulham and why they're in the situation that they're in. I thought this would be a good time to talk about this because it was an interesting article a few weeks ago from Ryan O'Donovan. I think it's a good jumping off point to really talk about what has happened with Fulham this season. The article is entitled, "The Errors That Have Left Fulham with No Identity and on the Brink of Premier League Relegation." This was written on February 11th. So this is a while ago, but I think his points really stand out. And I want to go through each one of them, guys, and just get your thoughts on, did Ryan get this right to really figure out what has happened to Fulham this season? So let's start with recruitment. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it and then go to one of you and we can talk about it. This is what Ryan O'Donovan wrote on football.london recruitment. Most fans' view is that the recruitment this year has large part to play in the poor season Fulham currently undergoing. 12 new players were signed in the summer for over £100 million, but the vast majority of them have failed to have much of an impact, with the feeling being that the sheer volume brought into the club has upset the apple cart somewhat. Okay, Scott, over to you. What are your thoughts about, obviously, the first part? That's where we have talked a great deal. Your thoughts on the recruitment. Do we begin there with why Fulham are in the situation that they're in? I think you have to.
Yeah. I mean, recruitment's a big one. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the intentions were there. We went out and spent the money. You know, we tried to show intent. You know, we tried to show the Premier League that we were coming up and wanted to compete. But I think we've just shown a lack of experience in, obviously, you know, how we've gone out and done our business and what we've bought. Again, we've discussed this on previous shows, Russ, where I think we've gone out and bought too many Rolls-Royce type players in, in the likes of obviously Sherl, or Schürrle, Siri, you know, and Guisa, stuff like that, individual players that, you know, haven't really fitted a type of system that we play, and are individual players that I feel that are there for money and not really for the club. You know, teams have proved it time and time again when they've come up, they've added two or three players here and had a better impact on the division. You know, and we looked at our model down in the Championship where we relied heavily on loans, come up, obviously we left it late being in the playoff final, you know, and we've had to rush through these players and play them. So what we've been left with is a kind of conundrum where, you know, we've lacked players, we've pulled too many players into the side. And then we've obviously tried bundling that team together and asked them to get instant results, and it's just not happened. On top of that, recruitment-wise as well, I mean, again, I've banged on about it before, that back four is atrocious.
Yes.
You know, it's a Championship back four, you know, besides probably Mawson that kind of, you know, who was injured at Swansea, but he still went down with them. Brian, Christie, you know, Ream, Adoy. And every time I talk about this, it frustrates me because the quality there just, and it's not their fault, you know, it's just not a Premiership back four. And you look at that, it's horrific. With some of the talent we come up against, you know, week in, week out, and spend that amount of money, Russ, and not invest in one of those most important areas is just frustratingly, it makes me angry, you know?
Totally agree, Scott. It's funny because when I look at the recruitment, you have to look at the defense because it just hasn't been good enough. Let me ask you this because Emilio brought this up to me as well. I'm curious your thoughts about Alfie Mawson, because Alfie Mawson actually started to really improve until he got hurt again in the Huddersfield Town match, and that the defense started playing fairly well, Scott. How much do you put down to his injury the second time being the undoing for Ranieri? Because if you think about it, it was starting to gel a little bit, and then Mawson gets hurt. It's unfortunate. What are your thoughts about his impact? I know we're talking about the defense overall, but I think he started to come good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, he was bought with that intention. I mean, you know, he was a bit of a shining star in Swansea's relegated side. Yeah. He had something. Bit of presence, bit of a leader, you know, sort of height, build. It started off a bit slow coming back from his injury, but it's the same thing, Russ. We've gone out and bought him injured when we needed players, you know. It wasn't as if he sort of come and then got a knock. We bought him with a toweling knee injury that he had at Swansea, and he went off and had the keyhole surgery. So, you know, he's gone and had that. He's come in. He's not fit. You know, we've tried to rush him back. It's probably been a bit of inflammation there. You know, he's played, he's bent down, he's popped his knee again, and he's gone. And again, it just adds to, you know, the conundrum that we've had with recruitment. It's the right type of player that we wanted, but not in the right situation. And naturally, you are going to improve with players like him in the side. I mean, if he gets fit, it will be a massive asset down in the Championship. He'll probably be one of the best in that division. But it didn't help our plight coming up. It was just another waste of, you know, why are we going out buying players with, I mean, even if we bought Mawson with an injury, why didn't we go out and get another centre-back? Why didn't we go out and spend You know, it's just so wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen, I'm there with you, Scott, because I was, you know, really hesitant with the Mawson deal because of the injury. I could see the value, and I think there was too much put on the value of it. Well, we got him because he was injured, but they needed to start off strong, and he wasn't really going to be able to help them in the beginning, and I just thought that was bad timing, and that I think in the end he could work out, but I think that's also a factor in Fulham's play, because we're talking about the defense, and again, he's dealt with two injuries, one coming into the club, and one now. It's unfortunate. All right,
yeah.
Luca, over to you. Here's another part in Ryan's article. This part is entitled, "Too Much Reliance on the Loan System." I'm just going to read the excerpt. This is from Ryan O'Donovan, Football.London. "During the Jokanović reign at Fulham, which lasted just two and a bit years, 40 different players were brought into the club. Last season alone saw the club sign 8 different loan players over the course of the season, with a side finishing the campaign with 6 loanees on their books. That included Matt Target, Alexander Mitrovic, Tomas Kalas, Lucas Piazon, and Ollie Norwood, all of whom could be considered core members of the squad that saw the side promoted. Once you lose those at the end of the season, Fulham were left with just 16 first-team players. Add to that the departure of Ryan Fredericks, and you have just 15. Luca, I think this is one of the stories of the season that we don't talk enough about, the fact that our team last season was built a good amount on the loan system, and then we had to replenish those players. Your thoughts on this as being part of the problem with Fulham this season?
Well, I think it also ties in with the recruitment last year as well. I think last summer, again, we signed, I think, was it 12 players or more? I think it was.
Yep.
And a number of them for big money just weren't good enough. You look at Rui Fonte up front, was poor. I think we shelled out £9 million for him, didn't we? And he's no good at all. I think Rafa Suarez, the left-back, the Portuguese left-back, was brought in with a decent reputation, was going to be the left-back who was going to be part of the promoted winning team, but we didn't see enough of him either. So it then meant we had to go back into January to try and really revive the season. And obviously we've got Mitrovic and Target in, but it is a problem, because if you compare that to the teams who went up alongside us in Cardiff and Wolves, they sort of had, in my opinion, a bit more of a plan. I know Cardiff going up was probably a bit of a surprise, but Wolves,
right,
in my opinion, had more of a clear-cut plan where they had permanent transfers within the side. And if they went up, it was a case of maybe replacing one or two of them with maybe an upgraded type of player. And the same with Cardiff as well. But I definitely think going up with loanees would have been a problem. It was a risk. And perhaps it's a question of whether the loanees would have been good enough to play in the Premier League. And that was a question that came up quite a lot on social media through the summer, whether people like Kalas and Norwood would have been able to take that step up into the Premier League, when, especially Kalas as well, didn't get much game time between, I think, what was it, February to the end of the season. He was really pushed out by a boy at centre-half, and Savisa used him a lot really at centre-half, didn't he?
Right. The one player that stands out to me is Matt Target. I know they wanted Matt Target. It didn't come off. Do you see that as a major loss for Fulham this season, not being able to get him?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think with Mark Hughes in charge of Southampton, I think he tried to stump up the price probably a little bit too much to probably what it was worth. But it was definitely a big miss, I think, especially with how good he was at left-back last season. He's just a fantastic player, especially at left-back. It was an area we needed to strengthen. And it was just a brilliant signing all around. His distribution on the ball was good. His delivery was fantastic as well. Most of the time, his crosses were quite pinpoint. And I think we have missed him a hell of a lot. And comparing him to Joe Bryan, it's frustrating, really, because I don't think Joe Bryan's as good, and he's probably prone to a mistake, a much more bigger mistake than probably what the Target is. So
yeah,
that's been a bit big miss this season.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the loss of Ryan Fredericks? I mentioned this on more than a few shows, Luca. You know, it's funny because he goes to West Ham, and I'm thinking, okay, they can replace him. But I think we've missed Ryan Fredericks as much as we have missed not getting Matt Target. Your thoughts?
I think the right-back position has probably been the area we've needed to strengthen most, in my opinion. It's definitely been a big hole. And Fredericks, well, I think we kind of knew last January that he wanted to go. And I think that's probably why we brought Christian in last January, to try and bed him in for about 6 months with the view to hopefully breaking him into the first team come August, depending on what division it would be in. I think if we'd have stayed in the Championship, we'd have probably started as right-back in the Championship. And even if we'd have went up as well, I'm sure the coaching staff would have had a view at least of him starting as well. But when you're in the Premier League, I think people like Christie and Odoi who's actually played right back for the past couple of games, they're simply not good enough. And the failure to replace them two in the January transfer window with a decent right back has, in my opinion, probably killed off any hopes of us even staying up, in my opinion, because it's definitely been an area, as you said, we've definitely failed to replace Fredericks, and it's effectively cost us, in my opinion.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, back to you. To go along with what we're talking about, Ryan writes about too many signings in the summer, and he writes this. I'm going to just read this excerpt, just this little part. Conn Sr. backed the club massively and spent a lot of money. While there was nothing to suggest at the time that these players were not good players. However, the problem of building a side with too many loanees meant that there had to be a lot of new signings to make sure the squad was strong enough, meaning the number that came in was inevitable. Okay, Scott, your thoughts. Again, this goes hand in hand to the whole situation with having so many loan players last season. Your thoughts about this, but I want to give Shai Khan a lot of credit. This isn't about not having the willingness to spend money. And again, I think that he's ambitious. I just think they got it wrong. But I think this goes hand in hand with talking about the loans, Scott, that we had to bring in all these players. And it's unfortunate how it all turned out. But your thoughts about signing too many players?
Yeah, but it's the old saying, is it too many cooks spoil the broth? I said before, I think most time, most clubs sort of, you know, they tend to do a lot better by just adding, you know, sort of two or three, you know, into a squad that's already there. But, you know, we never really had that choice. You know, sort of coming up with the amount of loans that we had, you know, you've naturally lost all of those players like Callas, you know, and others within the squad that probably could have helped us in the Premier League or actually made us perform better than we are now. I mean, people sort of say that was Callas, you know, sort of good enough for that level, but he wouldn't have been any worse than what we've got now. But then we don't know really in regards to, I mean, Chelsea seem to hold us to ransom for a lot of them players as well. Yeah. Sort of the prices for Piazza and Callas, you know, so we've had to look elsewhere. But I mean, the model's not worked. We know it hasn't worked, and you know that's going to have to be changed again if we go down. I'd like to see us follow something similar to what Wolves did, where we kind of, you know, pre-built sort of side, you know, ready to sort of step up and then just add two or three additions. You know, yes, we've got financial fair play to contend with, but if done correctly, it can be done right. I just think that we gave ourselves too much of a task. You know, I mean, even when you look at Norwood now playing for Sheffield United, people say, oh, you know, was he good enough to step up? But he would have been more mobile than the actual central midfielders that we've got now. He probably would have been more busy than what Ken is in the Premier League, because a few of those players that we thought would have stepped up to the plate haven't done so.
That's right.
And you sort of question now, the Ken is, the Sessegnons, you know, are they actually Premier League players? Possibly not, you know?
Okay, very good there, Scott. All right, Luca, back over to you. I think this is something that we have to talk about in Ryan's article. I'm just going to read the title because I think this says it all. A shambles of a preseason. I think this is a huge factor in Fulham's season this year. They were not prepared. Again, all the players are coming late, but I think even myself, I was trying not to look at how bad the preseason was because I'm like, oh, it's just the preseason. But I think now looking back, I think that was a factor in our poor season this season. Luca, your thoughts?
I do agree with that. I think a pre-season, if you get your players in at the right time, it sets the tone for what's to come, I think. And we didn't have the opportunity to really get the group together for a large part of pre-season. I think, as you said, a large number of players were brought in on a deadline day. And I think the Crystal Palace game wasn't the next day, I think, the Saturday. I think that was a Friday night. I think the Palace game was a Saturday afternoon the next day. So straight away, we fielded a bunch of players who came in the previous day. And there was really no sort of cohesion there, was there? So I think we did miss a trick, but actually without trying to get the players in beforehand. But there could have been reasons to why we couldn't get them in earlier. For all we know, there could have been valid reasons as to why. But it's definitely had an effect on our season, not having the group we wanted to have a couple of games together prior to our season starting, just to get to know each other and maybe each other a little bit more.
Okay, very good there, Luca. Okay, final topic in Ryan's article is this: sacking Jokanović and hiring Ranieri. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it. I want to ask you both this part. The decision to sack Jokanović in the middle of November was one that split fans. Some felt the time was right to remove the head coach after a 7-game winless run, while others felt sticking with him was the better option. We'll never know if Jokanović could have turned things around at Craven Cottage after Conn Senior sacked him, instead opting for Ranieri, who he described as a risk-free appointment. As it turned out just a few months later, the hiring was anything but risk-free. Okay, and this is also from Ryan O'Donovan's article. Scott, over to you. You and I have talked about the sacking of Jokanović and hiring Ranieri. What are your thoughts about it now? Have you changed your view on it at all, or do you still feel the same way as you did back then?
Sorry, can you repeat that, Russ? It just broke up a little bit there.
Sure. Sacking Jokanović and hiring Ranieri.
Right, well, I'm going to put my hands up and say that, you know, I was one of those ones that thought it was a good idea, you know, and honestly thought that Ranieri would come in and make an impact, and I got it completely wrong. You know, I don't mind admitting my own mistakes, but I think the majority of us thought that, you know, that Ranieri would come in and, you know, be risk-free and have an impact and shake things up a bit, but it wasn't to be. And when you look at that kind of incident, it's kind of, you know, it wasn't the fault of Jokanović. I mean, yes, he had his own faults, the way that he sort of played his system and stuff like that. But, yeah, it wasn't anything but risk-free, was it? I mean, it's anything. It's got us relegated. And I think that the decision has probably plummeted us more in trouble than it should have done, really. If we had waited and sort of stuck with Jokanović, would we have been in a better position? It's hard to say. I think we may have had more of a kind of a team bonding or a little bit more effort in games and possibly could have come better. But then we look at January, and if that was the case, you know, Jokanović would have needed backing as well, and he probably wouldn't have got backed the same as Ranieri did with players coming in, you know. So it's a bit of a conundrum, really. I'm glad Ranieri's gone. For me, he wasn't a Fulham man. He wasn't Fulham at all. And it certainly wasn't risk-free. I say, if anything, it's a lot worse. And now, you know, we're reaping the decision, to be honest. So.
Okay. Luca, your thoughts on this. The sacking of Jokanović and hiring Ranieri. I'm curious what you thought about it back then and what you feel about it now.
Well, originally when Jokanović was sacked, I was behind it. I think I know his last game in charge, there was an improvement at Anfield, in particularly that first half where we scored an offside goal, Mitrovic from a set piece. Sessegnon had a big chance, didn't he, early on that game. Went through 1-1 and missed. Then there was an improvement there, but a couple of performances prior to that, especially away at Huddersfield, was a pretty drab performance that night. And I think that was probably the night where he kind of lost his job, I think. And look, as Scott said, the Ranieri approach or the Ranieri effect hasn't worked, but I don't believe that Jokanović would have done much better, to be honest. And the window as well, the January window wasn't a great window either for Ranieri, as Scott says, well, didn't get the backing that he probably would have liked. But I'm still firmly behind the decision to sack Jokanović. I think he was arguably found out in the Premier League, trying to play too much of an open style with a team that probably wasn't fit to actually play that system in such a high-quality league. And I think that's probably what cost his job in the end.
Okay. Going back to that Liverpool match, because that's the conundrum I have. I'm one that actually did not want to sack Slavisa. And I got an indication. I thought he was changing a little bit, Luca, in that match. Thought he played a little bit differently. And I thought, okay, he's finally learning. Am I wrong about that? Or am I just, is this just revisionist history for me that maybe I was reading too much into one match?
Well, I think prior to that Liverpool match, I think, wasn't it Huddersfield, I think, and I can't remember who it was before that. So
yeah,
I think
it was horrible. Yeah.
I think there had to be a change in the style of play. I think Jokanović looked to try and go to a more defensive style, and it didn't work at Huddersfield. But for the first time, he actually went with changes in the field at Anfield. And I was on the whole quite impressed with him that day. He looked quite mobile. He got stuck in. I know his distribution wasn't the best that day, but he seems to do the basics well off the ball. He put a few good challenges in. And perhaps there was that thought of maybe that this could be a turning point. But at the end of the day, we rolled the dice and gambled on letting him go. And it hasn't worked, potentially. And we might come to regret that decision next season. But I just don't think, I think it was the right choice. I think the players, I just think he might have lost the dressing room, I think, especially after Huddersfield. I know the performance against Liverpool, the first half was good, but the second half we faded. Once that Salah goal went in on top of half time, we kind of really petered out the second half. So I don't think much had really changed, in my opinion.
Okay, very good. Just say one last time, and I understand, and I respect your view on it and Scott's view on it. I would have stuck with Savica. I would have gone down with Savica. I said that a long time ago. So that's just my view on it. And but I was thought that the decision of the man that they picked, I had no problem with Ranieri, and I was wrong about that too. I was totally wrong. Totally wrong about Ranieri. He was not the right man for Fulham Football Club, and it didn't work out. Okay.
I think just to touch on that, Russ, quickly before.
Sure, go ahead.
When it comes to sacking a coach that's given you possibly some of the best football that some of us have seen, that sort of championship kind of 23 game unbeaten run, the way that we play football was.
Yeah.
It was some of the best football.
And that was their identity, Scott.
Yeah, you know, it was. It was an identity, and you know, it was a great day out for the fans. You know, and we got to Wembley through the guy, you know, and Savica. You know, I mean, through some of the kind of tussles that he had with the club in regards to control over the team or whatever, he managed to still put it together and actually push us and get us up to that division. So, when it comes to sacking an individual like that, it's difficult because obviously you've got ties with that guy. And, you know, the problem is, I mean, we all look at the Burnley model and we say, you know, they come up with Dyche, they come up with Dyche, they went down with Dyche, they come up with Dyche. You know, that's fine. I mean, Burnley is a club, you know, in regards to money and stature and stuff like that. I mean, they have to do that model. You know, they can afford to kind of stick with Dyche and play that kind of game. In Fulham's situation, they come up, you know, they spent 105 million. It's a lot of money to spend. And to be fair to us, you know, we shouldn't have been in this situation. We should have come up. We had a decent platform. We had the money. We got the owners behind us, you know, the redevelopment, the Riverside or whatever, the players that we bought. The owners, for me, yes, they were. And this goes back to what Luca was saying. I mean, I don't think I have any regrets about it. And the owners were right to roll the dice. They had to do what they had to do to keep Fulham in the Premier League. It wasn't as if it was a natural process where we go up. No, we can't compete because we don't have the money and we're not a stature of a club or whatever. We could, you know. And to do what they did, they had to roll that dice, you know, in the hope that they kept us in the Premier League. They've rolled it. It hasn't happened. You know, we go down and we just hope and pray now that the owners have learned their lessons now. I know that they haven't from last time, but they really, really need to
talk to.
So, but it was just a touch on that, Russ.
Yeah, no, not a problem there, Scott. And I'm with you that, you know, everyone has to learn the lessons from the past, and hopefully they will. And we'll come back stronger next season in the championship because that's where we're going to be. All right, coming up next, guys, we're going to finish up the show by talking about the match that ended the Ranieri era. Okay, Luca, we're going to end the show by focusing on the match. Last night, we are recording this on Thursday. Fulham lost 2-0 to Southampton. And this is one of the worst matches of the season. I don't know how you feel about it. In my mind, it was that bad. The two goals that they gave up were both very poor goals. I don't think Southampton were very good at all. I think they were there to be beat, not just to get a point, but Fulham were not good enough. They made the mistakes. They lost the match, and Claudio Ranieri lost his job partially because of it. This was probably the final nail there. What are your thoughts about the match last night?
Well, it was a pretty flat performance, wasn't it? And I think, really, when the team news came out about an hour before kickoff, he went with three defensive midfielders, didn't he? He went with Van Gieser, McDonald coming from the cold. I don't think he's played since October, so that definitely raised a few eyebrows straight away. And you also went with Callum Chambers there. And that, to me, gave the impression that there was going to be no really attacking impetus. It was mainly going to be a case of trying to sit in and maybe trying to hit them on the break, which we tried at West Ham. It didn't really work. I mean, at West Ham, there was a few times where from a set piece, would get the ball back, try and hit into the channel, and Mitrovic and Babel weren't there. So he's obviously trying to stick with that similar type of approach last night, and it didn't work. And as you mentioned, both goals were really poor goals to concede them. In the first goal, again, like West Ham, it's come from a set piece. We've been unable to deal with a set piece, and it's gone through a crowd of bodies and gone in. And even the second goal, I think it comes from our own goal kick. We don't do the basics right again. Arguably a poor save from Rico carrying it out to Ward-Prowse, but even Joe Bryan, in my opinion, could do better as well.
Yep.
And even in the box for goal as well, Tim Ream wasn't, you know, there's so many things you can pick at for the second goal particularly as well, but it just sums up our season, doesn't it? Too many, again, individual errors leading to so many soft goals this season.
I think we've dropped something, Scott. Like I was reading it the other day, just to touch on what Luke was saying there. I think we've dropped 10 positions, haven't we?
I'm sorry, Scott, repeat that.
Yeah, we've dropped, just to touch on that, we've dropped, I think it's 18 points from winning positions on top of the individual errors.
Yeah, that's horrible.
From winning positions. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Scott, what are your thoughts on the match? And, you know, and again, for me, this really just epitomized Fulham season.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch it last night. The first half was underway. I sort of seen the sort of first goal going, and then I had to get going, and the time I'd finished, you know, we'd lost. But it doesn't surprise me. As I said, I called it another 2-0, 3-0, 3-1. It's just tends to be a general pattern of how we lose games these days, to be honest. I can't give you real feedback on it because I didn't watch it. It just seems to be the norm week in, week out with us. You know, and as Luke was saying, you know, individual errors, you know, we've got a goalkeeper punching we should be catching, you know, sort of players that are just, and is it really down to sort of individual errors, or is it down to players that are just not good for this level? And you've got to look at that, you know, you know, your Bryans or whatever, Christie's, they're not good enough for this level. It's simple as really.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, Scott, because I think several of these players aren't good enough for the level. And I also think the players are culpable for this season. And, you know, here we are, we're talking about a lot of other things. Actually, someone tweeted to me, make sure that you talk about the players not performing well for Jokanović and also for Ranieri. And I don't think we talk enough about that. You know, and Luca, what are your thoughts about this? Because, you know, I actually, like I said, someone tweeted me this, and, you know, make sure if you're going to talk about the season as a whole, you have to talk about the players not performing for both managers. But Scott just brought up a good point. Is part of that just that they're not good enough? And I think several of these players are just not good enough for this level.
Well, I do agree with that. I think the players really got to take be accountable for this as well, haven't they? I mean, yep. As Dennis Aboy said, I think it was in the Evening Standard yesterday, I think he said, don't just blame manager, blame us as well. And he's completely right there. There's been a number of players who have, in particularly big games this season, have gone hiding. And it's not good enough. Winning down the bottom, especially in such a big part of the season, when you're trying to battle relegation, trying to get above that dotted line, you need players who are going to stand up and be counted. And I think our problem this season is that too many players who opted to go hiding in games and not really wanted to commit themselves to the calls. And it's... obviously, it's going to effectively cost us our Premier League status, and it has been a big issue this season. And I do agree that a number of these players aren't good enough, but they seem a little bit lost in games as well. Some, as I said, individual errors, really just do cost us in games.
Okay, very good. Okay, right back to you. I want to talk to you about the match a little bit. First of all, what were your thoughts about the starting 11? You know, and again, it really turned out to be a diamond formation. And I just, when I looked at the lineup, and you've already touched a little bit about this, I felt that this was not a lineup that you were going for. It looked like a tactical decision, but looked a little bit too defensive for me. But what are your thoughts an hour before the match when you saw the lineup?
Well, I was a bit deflated, really. I think, especially when we're away from home at Southampton, they lost to Cardiff, obviously in a big game there already. So I thought to myself, maybe if we can try and set up and just go for it. We've got nothing to lose. All the pressure's on Southampton, in my opinion. We're going into it. We know when Yeri's future's hanging on by a thread. So we just need to try and put a good performance in and really try and test them. Treat it like maybe like a cup game and just go for it. And there's nothing to lose. And we didn't do that, obviously. We went for the conservative, narrow approach with the three defensive midfielders.
Yep.
And straight away, it just gives a signal of we're going to just sit behind the ball. It doesn't give the signal of, oh, we're going to go for this, we're going to give it a go. It just seems to me that as if it was a very conservative approach, which Ranieri used a lot throughout his tenure, and it just didn't work.
It didn't work at all, Luca. And what's interesting about this, because this is something that I want to ask you about, because, again, it's funny, when I looked at the approach and I saw that he was playing a diamond, and I was listening to Tony Gale's commentary on the match, and he kept talking about how Fulham are playing this diamond. And all Southampton did, Luke, and I think you're going to agree with this, they just decided to just get the ball on the flanks, especially on the left-hand side. What really irritated me was how much room they had on the left-hand side, going down on the left-hand side of Southampton, the right-hand side of Fulham. And there was an issue there, and Ranieri did not adjust until late in the match when he brought on Sessegnon and Vietto. We're talking the 70th minute. He stuck with what was going wrong, Luca, and that actually surprised me. He's a tinker man. He had an opportunity to change this at halftime, and he didn't.
I think that's the problem with Ranieri. I think a number of his decisions in games have been quite strange, and he's made a number of notable halftime substitutions in his tenure, and there's just a lot of tactical decisions really that seem so confusing. I do agree last night. I think we saw in the reverse fixture when I was under Mark Hughes, I know it's a completely different manager, but against our fragile defence, people like Nathan Redmond like to get the ball and they like to run at us, and that's what they tried to do last night. They saw the defensive frailties, they knew we had a disjointed midfield, so it was a case of getting their best players on the ball and then making things happen. And that's why we can see so many soft goals, because we're unaware of the danger around us. And the people, Ranieri or whoever the manager may be, just completely seem unaware of it. And it's so frustrating, because surely if you're going a goal down, you're seeing it happen. Someone with common sense would think, right, if I can make a tactical change, maybe try and plug the gaps at least till half time, maybe keep it at one, get the regroup, and try and go again in the second half. But Ranieri doesn't seem like he wasn't aware of it. And it's mind blowing. It really is. And it's crazy.
Yeah. And, what's interesting, and I wrote this down because I watched back the match this morning, second time, and Tony Gale, again, I keep referencing him. He says in the 55th minute, Luca, you have to bite the bullet and make the change. He's talking about the formation. This is in the 55th minute. He had not changed anything up to that point. Like I said, and another 15 minutes later, he decides to change. He changes the formation as well, but by that time, it's too late.
And especially, I do agree with that, especially in when you're chasing that game, there's got to be something that goes through your mind, surely, when you think, right, we're going to have to go for it. There's nothing to lose now. We're 2-0 down, 1-0 down. We could at least try and go for it. If we get a goal back, whether it be a scrappy goal with about half an hour to go and that, we can really put them under the cosh, maybe even try and nick a point, and there's something to build upon. But it's like the Man United game as well. We're 2-0 down there. Ranieri decided to go back to the five at the back formation. We brought on Cyrus Christie, and it effectively screamed game over. Like, we weren't going to go for it. And that's what I'm trying to say. The questionable decisions tactically, we left it too late last night, as you said. And even against United as well, it's just been really, really poor from Ranieri this season. And this has effectively what's got in the sack, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I'm glad that we could end talking about the match briefly. I didn't want to go into too much detail because it was such a horrible match. I think it just epitomized how bad Fulham have been this season, this 2-0 loss to Southampton. I didn't think Southampton were great at all. I just think Fulham were that bad. All right, guys, to finish up the show, over to you, Scott. I just want to get your thoughts of what you're hoping to see under Scott Parker for the rest of the season. That's how we're going to end it.
I'm just hoping to – I mean, we're down. I mean, anyone can see that. I mean, it's going to take a miracle to keep us up now. I just want to see a little bit of enjoyment sort of brought back to the club. I want to see fans smiling again this season. You know, sort of get off the train, smell that Fulhamish kind of smell when you get off and crave football. You know, this inflated ticket thing going on, and, you know, the way that we've been driven this season detached us all from the club, and the football on the field has gone with it. You know, I don't care if, you know, we go out and, you know, we get beat in these games. It's most likely we're not going to pick points up against Liverpool, Chelsea, you know, sort of Man City, like that. But let's have a little bit of fun. Let's start playing some football. Let's start playing the right tactics. You know, let's do what we're good at, and that's you know, football. Let's hopefully we can achieve that, and just, you know, bring back a bit of a feel-good factor. Let's build some morale. And then, you know, we can get this season out of the way and done with them. Hopefully, we can take that with us back to another campaign where we hopefully get promoted at the first time of asking.
Okay, excellent, Scott. Luca, over to you. What are you looking for with the end of the season with Scott Parker?
Just hopefully just play with no fear and just try and enjoy it. We're going to, obviously, we are going down, as Scott said, so I've just got to try and enjoy it. We might not know we might not even be back for a long time in the Premier League. So we've got some big games coming up. So let's just try and enjoy ourselves and give it a bit of a go. You know, if we get beat, we get beat. But at least try and get supporters happy. Try and entertain supporters with a bit more better football than what we've seen for the past few months. And just try and get a bit more confidence installed for next summer. Because it's going to be a difficult summer coming up. The rebuilding process will start from then. So hopefully just get fans happy again and get people back down at Craven Cottage with a smile on their face.
Okay, excellent. All right, Luca, first to you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's been good.
It's been great. And listen, I just want to let you know that I've watched your videos for a very long time. You do an excellent job, my friend. You also do a very good job, not only on your own channel, but on the Fulhamish channel. And in case fans aren't aware of your YouTube channel and also the Fulhamish channel, please talk about what you've been doing, because I enjoy all your videos.
Well, basically, I started off last season, and I didn't really give it too much thought. It was after the Cardiff game. We drew 1-1, and we didn't start the season too well, so I thought I'd just give my opinions about it. And people seemed to enjoy it, and it obviously got to a bit, obviously did a few more videos, and it kind of snowballed from there, really. So I'm quite happy with how things have gone, and yeah, I'm quite pleased with how things have grown. People seem to enjoy it, so that's always a positive as well.
Well, you're doing a great job. Just keep it up there, my friend. Mr. Tanfield, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and keep up the great work on Friends of Fulham. Anything going on in Friends of Fulham that fans should be aware of?
No, it's miserable like most Fulham places, to be honest with you. But it just goes hand in hand with everything else for us. No, we're still ticking over. I mean, you know, it has been, and I mean, like tonight, I feel very subdued doing this show. Nothing to do with you or us. I'm very flat as a fan at the moment. You know, it's been a really sad season. It's not over at the moment. I just feel very deflated at this minute talking anything Fulham. You know, I've been, you know, my age, I've been through, you know, a few relegations and bad seasons and stuff. And even though football was rubbish, you know, we were still a club. But it's that whole kind of identity thing as well. You know, the detachment from this season and everything else. And, you know, rightly, people are flat. But, you know, the forum's doing good. I would advise there is, just to give you a bit of information. If you go on to Fulham, a chap that took the time to go on to a Leicester forum and actually ask their fans, you know, about Ranieri, about the sacking, and, you know, what their thoughts were about, obviously, him taking over at Fulham, because no one rushed on the forum to actually congratulate us. So he thought he'd go off and ask some questions. And if you read into their forum, the links on Friends of Fulham, quite a lot of them are actually sort of glad that he went in the end. They talk about the promotion through him, how he got quite lucky, you know, with, he was surrounded with very good players that sort of played out their skins for that season, you know, like Mahrez, you know, and obviously Vardy on fire. But come the secondary season or whatever, they couldn't really wait for him to get out. So it's quite an interesting topic, that one. So pop over and have a look at it. It sort of opens a few eyes.
Well, thanks for mentioning that, Scott. I'm certainly going to take a look at that. All right, great show, guys. Let's wrap this up. For Scott and Luca, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.